As the Lord accomplishes His good will in us today through His Word, we are going to be challenged. The Scripture is going to contest some of the thoughts and the ideas and the attitudes that are very common among Christians today in our democratic society. And this is really going to be good for us to be challenged. For as our thoughts are challenged, we have before us the blessed opportunity that we might further be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and that then without doubt. Let us be a people who are heavenly minded, Christians in the true sense of the word, that is Christ-like. Now, repeating what we said last week, as we considered the book of 1 Peter, Peter, having theologically detailed our standing in Christ, telling us that we who believe are living stones who are being built up as a spiritual house, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, he now exhorts us in very practical terms as to what kind of living offers up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God and proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as we learned about that last week, those practical applications, we found that we are to proclaim the excellencies of God by offering up the spiritual sacrifices of abstaining from fleshly lusts. Do you remember that? We're to abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage war against our soul. And we are to keep our behavior excellent among those who do not believe in Jesus. And in so doing, then, when the unbelieving slander us as evildoers, they will, on account of our good and compelling attractive deeds, as they observe them, glorify our Heavenly Father on the day of His visitation. Now, introduction on your handout. On this Lord's Day, as we turn to the Holy Scripture, we find that Peter is continuing down this same path, teaching us how to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through faith in Christ Jesus by proclaiming His excellencies by properly responding to the governing or human authorities. We are going to learn how we can glorify God, proclaiming His excellencies, offering us spiritual sacrifices, and properly responding to governing authorities. And A, as we learned last Lord's Day, let us keep it in mind that we are missionaries in our world. Amen. And that many governing authorities need to be evangelized. And everybody said, amen. A proper godly response to governing authority is an acceptable sacrifice to God. Now, have you ever thought about that? In the way we respond to our governing authorities, we make sacrifice to God or fail to make sacrifice to God. And as the Christian's proper response to governing authority comes out, it is an act whereby we proclaim the excellencies of our loving and merciful God. Now, here's what I'm afraid of. As I consider my life and the life of many other Christians, I'm afraid that what many Christians have proclaimed in their response to the governing authorities is something less than the excellencies of God. But rather often we have portrayed that God, the God who saved us, is hateful, disrespectful, demeaning, and rebellious. Let us hear the word of the Lord this morning and let it turn our hearts. So as we turn to our text, which is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, and this is B on your handout, let us prepare our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God is teaching us in regards to governing authorities, acceptable sacrifices, and the proclamation of the excellencies of God. It is my prayer this morning that our Lord will this morning transform us by the renewing of our minds. It is, as the chorus says, change our hearts, O God, make us ever true. May we be true to God's word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as to the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Roman number one, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. We who are Christians, who are, according to chapter 1, verse 1, the elect, who are scattered throughout the earth, according to the foreknowledge of God, are to submit ourselves. This is a very strong command, in the strongest of terms. A, the words submit yourselves come from a military term which means to line up under. It could be compared to a sergeant giving a private an order. The sergeant barks out the order, and without question and without thought, the private is to immediately jump and obey the command. We are commanded to line up under the governing authorities. We are to line up under the authorities who govern our land. Now, I think that this is worth noting, and this is B, we are to voluntarily submit ourselves. The idea is that we have an order, but we're to voluntarily submit ourselves to the governing authorities rather than waiting to be forced to submit. This has great implications as we study this book, and I'll get into it as we go. There is to be self-control in that we would hear the Lord's command and would, without an opposing thought, voluntarily submit ourselves to his pleasure. And this is the Lord's pleasure, that we submit ourselves to human authority rather than waiting until human authority forces us into subjection. As a matter of fact, according to Ezra, it was recorded that Jerusalem was destroyed because she rebelled against the human governments when she was not instructed to. Listen to what the servants told King Artaxerxes, Ezra 4, 14 and 15. Now because we are in the service of the palace, and it is not fitting for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and informed the king, so that a search may be made in the record books of your fathers, and you will discover in the record books and learn that that city, that is Jerusalem, is a rebellious city and damaging to kings and provinces, and that they have incited revolt within it in past days. Therefore, that city was laid to waste. If we go back to our text in 1 Peter, the paragraph following the text we read today, it tells us that if one suffers persecution because they do what is right, then that finds favor with God. But then it goes on and says, how is it to one's credit if they suffer for doing wrong? Church, if we do not submit to governing authorities and are laid to waste because of it, it will not be to our credit, for our Lord teaches us to submit ourselves. Now let's try to take in the big picture here, okay? In Peter's day, under Nero, the church was under intensifying persecution. With that in mind, the Lord says, submit yourselves. He did not say rebel against the government. He did not say try to overthrow the government. He did not say hold a protest, sit on the sidewalk, and when the police tell you to move, don't move and let them cart you off and arrest you. He didn't say that. He didn't say announce to the world that you think a government official needs to be assassinated. He didn't say do that. When one suffers for failing to submit to governing authorities, they suffer not because they are persecuted, but because they fail to obey the Lord their God. Their suffering is discipline. It is not to their credit. Does the Lord say submit yourselves only if you like what the government is doing? Submit yourself if the governing official is a fellow believer? Or is this, in fact, an unqualified statement? We are to submit ourselves to the authorities. Again, the big picture, when Peter teaches the people that they are to submit themselves, even though many will die due to persecution, I believe that he is saving many more who might have died because of their insurrection. We are to submit ourselves to governing authority. Don't force the governing authority to bring you under submission, for in that you will suffer needlessly. But submit yourself freely so that if you do suffer, you suffer for doing right, and that is what finds favor with God. So Roman numeral 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Now, beloved, if we were man-centered, thinking that this is all about us, we would have no reason to suffer unjustly. But Peter says that we're to be God-centered. And so he writes the cause for our submission. And if we suffer, why we suffer. It is for the Lord's sake. We're to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake. So, A, we have great cause. We have great cause. You see, we submit that we might proclaim the excellencies of our Lord and God. We submit to show forth God's glory. Number one, Matthew 10:16-17. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. That is, be smart, but don't sin. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. What the Lord is saying is, I have a plan for you, and some of you are going to be arrested, and some of you are going to be brought before kings and governors for my sake as a testimony to them. Now, church, if we've stood against them on every stand, how are we going to testify to them? If we've been disobedient to the law, how are we going to stand and say, oh yes, the Lord is most gracious? Church, who knows where God will take us as missionaries? Who knows where our next mission field will be? Today we sit here, perhaps next year we'll be before governing authorities. This is all for the Lord's sake, and He's going to take us and place us. And we have a testimony to bear, and it should be a pure, clean testimony. In Genesis, do we read of Joseph's rebelling against the authorities? Or is it not true that even though he was unjustly sold into slavery, falsely accused, and thrown in jail, he submitted himself to the authorities without complaint? And is it not also true that as he humbly served as a prisoner one day, that the very next day he stood before Pharaoh testifying of the excellencies of God, and that very day began to serve as second in command only to Pharaoh? Is it not true that Joseph proclaimed that it was God who brought him to that place to save his people? We are to submit to the authorities so God can put us in the places that they will have trust in us, that they will look to us. When the governing officials look to the Christians, beloved, they should find friends who will pray for them. I did not say we will support them in every false way, but we will honor them. They will know us as those who will come to their side, who will give them honor where honor is due. And Joseph's making the spiritual sacrifice of submitting to the governing authorities proclaiming the excellencies of God. Generation after generation now has heard of that testimony, and God has been glorified. What would have happened, church, speculating, if Joseph would have been rebellious? Do you think they would have ever taken him before Pharaoh? Absolutely not. And Joseph was a foreshadow of Christ our Lord. What of our Lord? When he was here, did he teach the people in Jerusalem and all of Israel? Did he teach them overthrow the Roman government? Or did he say, if a soldier compels you to go with him 1 mile, you go with them too? And then he say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Never did Jesus teach them to overthrow the government. Did Jesus ever tell the people to revolt against the corrupt priesthood? In fact, and I'll read it again later, he told them, they sit in the seat of Moses, obey them. And look, church, how the excellencies of God have been proclaimed through the sacrifice of Christ, who is our Lord. So B, we are to humbly submit ourselves for the Lord's sake, that His excellencies would be proclaimed before kings, rulers, and unbelievers. And church, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, rest assured by the declaration of the scripture, God will exalt us at the proper time. So we say, church, have faith. Have faith. Trust in God. When you're in jail, if you ever go there, and you're being there not because you did something wrong, but because you're being persecuted, glorify God. Be like Joseph and know God's got you there for a reason, and your testimony is going to be lifted before the rulers and the kings. Remember what happened? Joseph spent all those years, and then he brought his family to Egypt for their protection, that they would sustain life throughout the drought. And then Joseph's father passed away, and the brothers got scared, didn't they? Remember that? The brothers got afraid. And so what did the brothers do? They said, hey, our dad's gone. Joseph's going to kill us now. He's going to have his way with us. So they go and they say, hey, Joseph, what's going to happen here? And what does Joseph say? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And yes, church, if we are persecuted for doing what is right, they mean it for evil. But guess what God means it for? Good. He's going to get your testimony somewhere where it would go no other way. We are to humbly submit ourselves for the Lord's sake, that His excellencies would be proclaimed before kings and rulers and unbelievers. And again, church, I will say that if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us when? At the proper time. So have faith. In truth now, if we are to rightly submit ourselves to governing authorities, we must first have faith and submit ourselves to God. We submit to the governing authorities only because we submit to God. And if we do not submit to the governing authorities, then we do not submit to the God who chose us and caused us to be born again. Who are we to submit to? Roman numeral 3. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. To every human institution. I've heard people say, well, I don't have to do that. That's a man thing. That's a design of man. Listen to what is taught here. A, the word translated institution, or depending on your translation, ordinance or authority instituted, speaks of God's creation or the divine creative act. The implication is that God instituted civil authority. Human government is part of God's creation. And think where we would be if we didn't have it. When Peter writes the words human institution, he is not saying that it is an institution invented by man or belonging to men, but that it is a God-created authority that is in God's providential hand as it operates among men. It is human in that it operates in this realm. It is instituted in that it is of God. So number one, it is through God's providence that men are placed in authority. We see this confirmed in what Paul wrote, Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. What? There is no authority except from God, and those which exist, even human authority, those which exist are established by God. Now listen to this conclusion. Therefore, because authority only exists because of God, because authority exists because it's established by God, therefore, he who resists authority, that is governing authority, has opposed the ordinance of God. That's incredible. When I disobey the authorities of this land, I am opposing God. And then in verse 4, Paul calls governing authority a minister of God. A minister of God. I suppose if somebody came in this morning and I was preaching and they struck me, you would all say, how dare you strike a minister of God? Well, the law, the governing authority, is a minister of God. Think about it. Those are powerful words. When Jesus was being tried, Pilate said in John 19:10, do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? And we know what the Lord said, verse 11. You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Jesus says, Pilate, I know you got authority over me, and I know where it came from. So I'll entrust myself to him who judges justly. Human authority is God's creation. God measures it out as it pleases him. Proverbs 21:1 says, King's hearts are but channels of water in the hand of God. He turns them whichever way he wishes. It was right for Paul to instruct Titus in chapter 3, verse 1, to remind them, to remind the people to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient. B, because human authority is God instituted, we are to submit to every human institution. I looked the word up, every. I looked it up in the Greek, and guess what it means? Thank you. Actually, it said all. Went to a shorter word. All. We are to submit ourselves to each and every, or all, human institutions. All human authorities. Now, to be sure, let's round this out a bit, in case we don't take in everything. While we are to submit ourselves to every authority, that does not mean that we must obey every command. But we better be careful in this. We'd better slice it right. With our text, 1 Peter, being in the greater context of the whole of Scripture, we understand that it is not that we should submit to any human demand that would compel us to sin against God, for we ought to obey God rather than men. There are examples in the Scripture, and it is always right for men of God to refuse to sin, even though under the orders of a human authority. And we can think of in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Sorry, king, we can't bow down to the statue. Okay, you're going into the fiery furnace, boys. Daniel says, well, they've written a law where I can't pray, but I have to pray. It's the command of God that I would pray. So he prays. He gets thrown in the lion's den. We can go all the way to the New Testament, the book of Acts. And the apostles were told, don't preach. And they said, we're commanded to preach. We have to obey God. So we have to break this rule. When the human authorities say sin, we will not sin. But even at that, think about Shadrach. Think about Daniel. Think about those apostles, those disciples. Think about how respectful and honorable they were before the authorities. So even though they could not and would not sin before God, they were still honoring the authorities. Is that not true? Amen. The authority then that overrides all authority is God. And wherever human authority demands that the believer sin against God, the believer shall not sin. Jesus said, Luke 20:25, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And we could say, well, I don't think I should pay taxes. They charge too much. What does God say? Pay your taxes. Well, I don't think I should pay my taxes. I don't like what they're doing with my money. They're going to answer for that, not you. You have a law. But now they're telling me to participate in this thing that's evil. Oh, then you better render unto God the things that are God's. Amen? Our Lord also taught, and I alluded to this already, Matthew 23:1-3. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They're hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Nevertheless, though they are seated in the seat of authority, and it's intriguing that he says they've seated themselves. But that authority is from God. And so even though they're seated in this, even though they are hypocrites, they are seated in the chair of Moses, and you are to obey them. Don't sin, but they're in the authority. Obey. for the sake of our God, that we might recognize His sovereign lordship over the earth and even among men, that we might proclaim His excellencies, that we might offer up spiritual sacrifices, submitting ourselves by submitting ourselves to every human institution. Now, in case we don't get this idea of every, Peter spells it out a little bit for us. He says, whether to a king as to one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And this is what we want to do. We kind of want to pick and choose. Well, okay, he's the highest guy, so I'll obey him. But these guys on the lower echelon, right? No, everyone. If it is a king who is the one who is in authority, we're to submit to him. And I want you to notice, all you good Christians of the United States of America who live in a democratic society, that our Lord did not condemn a monarchy or a dictatorship. He did not. Tyranny, He condemns. Injustice, He condemns. But He did not condemn a monarchy. This command to obey a king as the one in authority held some special significance in Peter's day. Nero was the Caesar, and Peter is telling the believer to obey, to honor his governing authority, to submit. That's incredible. And the believer is to submit to governors. This term governors does not refer to governors alone as we think of them today, but it refers to anyone who held an office of less authority than the king. So it refers to policemen, mayors as we know them, to judges, to anyone who held authority. That would even include, beloved, a principal at a school, a teacher in a classroom, whoever has authority. We are to submit to every human institution because such are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Where there is no authority to enforce the law, there is lawlessness. Where there is lawlessness, there is anarchy. And let me tell you, you may not like the government and what they do, but I can tell you, you would not like anarchy. What would you do then? God instituted governing authority to maintain civil order. Again, as Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Kings and governors are sent by God. In verse 4, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. That is, be afraid of the retribution of the governing authority, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. When Peter drew out his sword at the garden and he whacked off the soldier's ear, what did Jesus say? Put that sword away. You're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You come against the government and the government's going to come against you, buddy. Somebody was telling me some time ago, no offense to anybody who lives in the East Mountains, but he said, I'm building a house out in the East Mountains in case the government goes bad. And he said, I bought some guns, and I've got some ammunition, and I've got some gold stored up, and we've got food. And I said, what are you going to do as a Christian if you've got this hoard of food and everybody around you starving? What are you going to do? And by the way, do you have a tank and an F-14? You're going to fight the government? I think if the government went bad, I would still honor them, number one, because the Lord says it. Number two, if I have any hope of getting any food, it's going to probably be through them. Look, if we do what is evil, then we better be afraid. If we do not submit to the government, then we better be afraid because they bear the sword. And guess who gave them the sword? Our Lord did. Now listen to this. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, but it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. And then not only are the governing authorities sent by God to punish evildoers, but to the praise of those who do what's right. Again, Romans 13, 3 and 4, Paul wrote, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Norman Hillier writes, Peter is thinking beyond obedience to the law and is advising believers to be model citizens. And I absolutely agree with him. Why shouldn't the believer be a model citizen? For unlike the non-believing, the believer is holy unto God. Instead of being like so many Christians who make it their profession to be a royal pain, we ought to make it our profession to be what we are, a royal priesthood. The outstanding citizens of the heavenly kingdom ought to be the upright citizens while here on earth. Number one, we are to submit to every governing authorities because God sent them to serve His divine purposes. Did you get that? This is profound to me. We are to submit to every governing authority because God sent them to serve His divine purposes. Why would God create human government? To serve His divine purpose, creating a fear of retribution that turns evildoers from working evil and promotes peace for those who do what is right. To rebel against human government, which the Bible refers to as a minister of God, is to rebel against God Himself. Think about, I'll throw this in, get an extra 2 cents out of it. Think about the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is telling the disciples, they're looking over at the temple, there's going to be a day that not one stone will be left upon another. And He starts talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And He says, when you see the abomination coming, or when you see the abomination standing in the holy place as spoken of in Daniel. If we turn to Luke, Luke says that the armies are going to come. He tells the disciples there, and Luke defines it, the armies are going to come that cause desolation. So Jesus is very clearly looking the disciples in the eye, and He's saying, when you see the armies, the Roman armies come and surround Jerusalem, they're going to cause desolation. So what does He say to do? Flee! Does He say, hold up in the walls of Jerusalem and fight them? He does not say that. He says, flee, doesn't He? Go! If you're on the rooftop, don't go in the house and get your goods and run out. Why? Because those goods now, they belong as plunder to the Roman army. They're not your goods anymore. And so if you take those goods and you try to flee, they're going to kill you. They're not going to let you get by them. If you're out in the field, don't go back into the city. Why? Because if the army's there and you're going back in the city, you're saying, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fight you. They're going to kill you. They're not going to let you go. What does He say to do? Flee. Leave them. Don't rebel. Just go. And what happens to all those who decide to stay? Massive annihilation. The Lord, in all of His wisdom, though things may get tough, and though there are times we absolutely do not agree with our governing authorities, it is of no use to rebel against them. The Lord says, submit. Verse 15, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Roman numeral 4, it is God's will that sinful men should be silenced by the testimony of the believer's life. Now, you want to know what God's will is? Here it is defined. That when sinful men accuse you of doing wrong, it is God's will that they would actually be wrong in their accusation. So that in the thing they slander you, that what they say will actually be slander. If we are persecuted, may it be on account of His name and not on account of our own disobedience. A read through the Bible reveals that when people wanted to stir up trouble against the Christians in the New Testament, and even against Christ Himself, what did they do? They often went to the governing authorities and said, hey, these guys are rebelling against the government. These guys don't want to pay taxes. These guys say there's another king. Jesus is the king. They're rebelling. They try to stir up this trouble. If we are accused of wrongdoing against the government, let it be a wrongful accusation. Because then if we suffer for it, it is to our credit. God will look upon us favorably. But if we have not submitted to the government and we're accused of not submitting to the government, then we are going to suffer for it, and it will not be to our credit. It is the will of God that we would submit to the human authorities so that by doing what is right, that the righteousness of God would be our testimony, and that those who willfully choose to reject the truth of God, that is, those who choose to remain ignorant, would be silenced. And that word silence means muzzled. Muzzled like a barking dog. So this is the will of God, that we live good lives by submitting to the governing authorities, that when those who do not believe in Christ accuse us, they'll be put to shame. Ephesians 5:17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Robert Layton writes, let it then be your aim to have your will crucified to everything that is sinful. In a word, you must say, this is the will of God, therefore it is my will. It is God's will that by doing good that we would muzzle the wanton ignorance of senseless men. A, let us make the acceptable sacrifice of doing what is right. Then we will proclaim the excellencies of the God who saved us. And verse 16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Roman numeral 5, act as free men. The word act or live, depending on your version, has been added by the translators. More literally, it just reads as free. As free. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. We cannot think, as Christians, that because we have this freedom in Christ, and thus a freedom from the law, that this spiritual freedom gives us license to disobey the laws of the land. We are not above the laws of the land. We are to submit to them. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? In truth, if we break the laws of the land, claiming that in Christ we are free from them, then we are only using that spiritual freedom as a smokescreen to hide our sinful desires. All we are doing is trying to be stealthy in our sin. We're confronting our sinful attitude toward God. We are fronting our sinful attitude toward God, His established authority, with a facade of religion. A. As those who are free in Christ, do not use your freedom as a cover-up for sin. And I hear people that say, well, I'm trying not to pay my taxes. Or I don't have a problem with cutting back on my taxes because they use this money to fund things that I disagree with. This is exactly what this scripture is talking about. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for your sin. The truth is, you're just being stingy with your money. And I know I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. But should we obey the law? Answer, yes. And how dare us, in wanting to keep our money in our own pockets because we don't have enough faith that God can provide for us, to try to cheat on our taxes. That's not right, church. In fact, I will tell you exactly what that is. That is a lack of faith. We want to say, I have faith to move mountains. Be thou removed, mountains. But boy, I got to cheat and save $50 on my taxes. Where's your faith? We are to employ the freedom we have received in Christ, using it to offer up spiritual sacrifices that proclaim the excellencies of God. Use your freedom to show that you freely serve the God who saved you and is your master. Number one, we are free from the law. So, we do not obey the law as a servant of the law, but we freely obey the law as a servant of the God who set us free. In other words, we're not obeying the law because we're afraid we're going to get punished if we don't. We're obeying the law because our God says we will, and we are free to do that. So as the Lord's own missionary, church, Show the world that God did not drag you away as an unwilling servant, but that it is your joy to obediently serve your Lord and Master by submitting to every human institution. Somebody's going to say, why are you such a goody two-shoes? And you'll say, the Lord lives in me, and it's my joy to do what is right. Do not submit to governing authorities grudgingly, but freely. Do not complain all the way through, but rejoice, for it is your glad sacrifice that proclaims the excellencies of your Master. Our freedom in Christ does not liberate us from the law that we might break it, but so that we might freely serve our God in submitting to authority. Not as those who have a yoke around their neck in bondage, but as those who freely choose to do what is right because their Lord and their God has written His law on their heart. And they need no external law. The law is there. And they freely follow. And now, how shall we use our freedom in service to God? Verse 17, and this is letter B. Honor all. Honor all. The NASB says honor all men, and some say honor everyone or all people. The word men or people has been added, and I personally would rather it had not been added, because Peter specifically delineates who we are to honor, for example, and one is God. He says, fear God. So it is honor all, not just all men. The NIV, I think, paraphrases it really well, show proper respect to everyone, and that includes God. To offer up spiritual sacrifices that proclaim the excellencies of God, we are to honor, to esteem, and to reverence all. Now, the phrase honor all is in the Greek imperative in the aorist tense. That means, and the reason I can tell you what it means is because the book says so. That means that we are once and for all to permanently take up a respectful, reverential attitude toward all. In other words, this honor all is a decision of the will and has nothing to do with how we feel about things and who people are. We are to honor all, to esteem, to reverence. Okay? Then we have the present imperatives which follow. We are in practice to live out our honor for all by loving the brotherhood, fearing God, and honoring the King. Number one, love the brotherhood of believers. Now think about what this means in its context. Peter is talking about submission to human authority. And we are to love the brotherhood. A, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to the authority of the believers. Submit to the authority of the church. In 1 Corinthians, we see that Paul is telling the people that they are to be in subjection to the men who lead. In Hebrews, they're told, subject yourselves to the men who lead and watch over your soul. Be in subjection. Love the brotherhood of believers by submitting to the authority of the believers. So we are to love the brotherhood by submitting to each other and to the authority that has been placed by God among the fellowship of believers. Such an act of acceptable sacrifice proclaims the excellencies of God. And we are to, number two, fear God. Fear God. A, Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. By fearing God, we respect and reverence Him, and then He becomes the motivation of our life. The motivation to love the brotherhood and to honor the King is the fear of the Lord. We submit to earthly authorities, whether they be outside the church or inside the church, because we have submitted to God out of reverence for Christ. And we are to, number three, honor the King. I will tell you that I believe Peter here was speaking very specifically, of course, to the persecuted church, with the word "the" in honor the King being the definite article. This indicates that Peter had in mind a particular king. He is saying honor the King, Nero. Honor him. As bad as Nero is, in Peter's day, as evil as he was, as many Christians as he saw put to death and persecuted, as Antichrist as he was the human authority and therefore in obedience to God to be honored. Powerful. Now, Nero isn't here today, and we do not have a king but on this earth. But we do have governing authorities, and the application fits. It doesn't matter whether they persecute us or not. It doesn't matter whether we agree with them or not. They have authority. God establishes the authority, and we are to honor that authority because it's given of God. Closing, a proper godly response to governing authority is an acceptable sacrifice to God. Wow. That is life-changing to me. And the Christian's proper response to governing authority is an act whereby one proclaims the excellencies of their loving and merciful God. As I said at the beginning of this message, perhaps today some of the thoughts and ideas that are very common among many Christians in our democratic society is being challenged here. If so, that is good. Because what we observe today in Christendom needs to be changed because a lot of it's not lining up with these scriptures. We see in Christendom today much rebellion against the government, much slander against the government, much divisiveness against the governing authorities. But here our Lord says what? Honor, submit. Last statement. From this day forward, may we respond as our God would have us, submitting to every human institution, for this is the will of the God who chose us. Wow, Lord, I sure needed to hear that. Here I am, Lord, thinking all the time and many years gone by that by talking against government officials that I was doing the right thing. Forgive me, God, for my sins. And thank you, Lord, for showing me the way that is right. I pray, Heavenly Father, that for myself and for all of us as a people, as your children, as a royal priesthood, Lord, from this day forward, that we will offer up the spiritual sacrifice of submitting ourselves to the governments that you have established and therefore glorifying you. And Lord, that indeed we will be model citizens where no charge can be leveled against us, no honest charge can be leveled against us. And Lord, should it be your good pleasure that you would see that one day we would stand before governing authorities, may it be by the life we have lived that we will proclaim the excellencies of you, the God who saved us and caused us to be born again. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will work on us in this, because, Lord, many of us are going to need a change of attitude. And we understand, Lord, from verse 17 that we are to honor all and we are to willingly, willfully, mindfully, comprehensively change our mind and make the decision that we will honor all. And Lord, let us remember as we make this decision, let us remember then when we are tempted to dishonor and tempted to disobey, to refuse to submit, that indeed we made the decision to glorify you. And then, Lord, may we honor and may we submit. I thank you, Father, for your good word. Lord, you've given us a lot of work on here, a lot to work on. And Lord, we need to be after it and get it done. So may we be your people, and no matter what we face, may we glorify you according to your good word. Thank you, Father, for washing us with the water of your word. And I know, Lord, that we do not feel good about ourselves. We are not happy when we rail against our government. But Lord, when we know we are in obedience to you and we honor and submit ourselves to governing authorities, Lord, that your spirit will give us that peace and that inner joy, knowing we are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. May we live that life before you, God, and may you be most glorified in us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. I think it remarkable, the Lord's timing, in that this week, of course, as you know, one of the leading Christians in the United States of America with a voice that is heard worldwide mentioned that he thought the president of Venezuela ought to be assassinated. And, of course, that is a mark against Christ. It is not a mark for Christ. It's a terrible thing to say. It is not of Christ. Christ has not called us to bear the sword. And I think that in the comfort of the United States of America, that we ought to be careful. Because the things that we say and we proclaim can be held against Christians and other nations, and they can suffer for the very things that we do and we say flippantly. So we should not forget and take our freedom for granted. We should be careful in how we live our life, knowing that there are many around the world who are suffering. And I thought of in Venezuela how many Christians would suffer because a Christian in the United States would make such a remark. So we should be careful. And I think in being careful that one of the greatest ways we can support other believers is by, in fact, submitting to the governing authorities and showing that we would never lift a hand against those whom God has given authority. Amen? So we have a life to live here, and we have a life to live before our Lord. Let us be the people that go out and are model citizens, that our government would know that Christians are honest, decent, God-glorifying people, and may they see a reflection of our God through us. Amen. May God bless you as you go away. Live your life in the freedom of Jesus Christ.